Now let's study the scriptures together and please join in with your comments. It has been said that the story of some Jewish holidays can be reduced to three very simple short sentences. They tried to kill us, we won, let's eat. Purim was to become one of those joyful, fun-filled Jewish holidays. It is celebrated annually on the 14th day of the Hebrew month of Adar. Where did that name come from? Purim is the plural form of the Hebrew word pur, which means lots, as in the expression to cast lots. Its meaning is similar to our expression to flip a coin. According to the scroll of Esther, Book of Esther, they should make them days of feasting and gladness, and of sending portions one to another and gifts to the poor. Pur is celebrated among Jews by exchanging gifts of food and drink, donating charity to the poor, eating a special meal known as Seudat Purim, public recitation, reading of the Megillah, of the Scroll of Esther. Other customs include wearing masks and dressing up in costumes, in holding public celebration and parades, and eating lots of hamantaschen. Hamantaschen is a funny little triangle cookie that is supposed to remind us of Haman's head. Hamantaschen is filled with jam and poppy seed and a lots of calories. Purim now is our annual commemoration of the survival of the Jewish people at the time when they were captives in ancient Persia. At that time, the king's name was Artaxerxes, in Hebrew Ahasuerus. Can you imagine the king in kindergarten learning to put that name on his paper? No, of course, it's a joke. Well, the king anointed a man named Haman as his chief advisor. It became Haman's plan to kill all the Jews in the empire. His plans were foiled by Mordechai, one of those captive Jews, and by Esther, the queen, who happened to be his cousin. As for Haman, it did not go very well for him. Esther is the brave heroine in the story because she put her life on the line, risking everything for her people, and famously said, "If I perish, I perish." Therefore, when we talk about Purim, we are talking about Esther. When I think about Purim, personally, I remember the Lord's faithfulness and His protection in our lives. No matter how the enemy tries to destroy us, we are still alive. Am Israel Chai, O Davinu Chai. Israel lives, our Father lives. The Lord is faithful to His promise, and His heart is filled with love for His children. I love the place from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. How wonderful it is to have such a Father, such a Lord. And how terrible is when people, and especially His children, reject Him. We know that throughout our history, the enemy of human souls sought to destroy us. That enemy knew God's word, as long as the sun is in the sky. He understands that God has made us primary evidence of His faithfulness. If only Satan could get rid of God's chosen, he will have won. But the sun keeps shining, and we are still here on this earth. The Lord is our protector and our cover. Our enemies have risen up. Constantly they have attacked. Invariably, they get squashed and disappear. But the Lord still lives, and so do we. Am Israel Chai, O Davinu Chai. The Purim holiday is a reminder to us that we do not need to be afraid. But it is also a reminder to our enemies, those who wish to destroy us, that hatred to the Jewish people will not lead to anything good for them, only to their destruction and death. It is a good reminder. Purim is one of the best examples of this. 2,500 years ago, the insidious enemy conspired to destroy the Jews, to wipe out the people from the face of the earth. This nation chosen to reveal the Messiah, Yeshua, to the whole world. And it seemed that the countdown before this triumph of evil went on for days, hours, minutes. But it is no accident that Purim is called the holiday of victory. Purim is a celebration of the victory of the Almighty over evil. Even dark designs over the adversary and any that would fall into a conspiracy with him. As they say, the darkest darkness comes just before the dawn. And Purim confirms this. When defeat seems already inevitable, when there is no one to rely on and from whom to expect help, it is at such moment that real salvation comes from the Lord. We remember that Purim derives from the word pur, which means lot. I would like to read from a couple places of scripture. One of them is Psalms number 16, verse 5. I love this place of scripture. Adonai is my portion and my cup. You cast my lot. And the similar places in the Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33. The lot is cast into the lap, but their very decision is from Adonai. Haman was defeated, and the evil he planned for the Jews turned against him. The people of Israel were saved and continued their historical path, guarded by the Heavenly Father. The key to this victory was trust in the Lord, fasting and prayer. The recognition of the fact that Israel has no one but God alone to rely upon. So I would like to share a couple of interesting lessons from Purim. So let's move on to the lessons of Purim. So the first lesson for today, it is the Lord works behind the scene. So can you type, please? The Lord works behind the scene. Many believe that the book of Esther was written to illustrate how God works behind the scene. And it seems so, considering that the text of the book does not mention the word God or word religion. You won't find the name of God in this book. The times of Mordechai and Esther are the times of the hiding of the face of the Most High. Really, it was the time of the hiding of the face of the Most High. Hiding the face, it is a state of the people when people do not feel that God is in control of the world. It is sometimes familiar to us, yeah? When we don't feel that God is in control of the world. They are lost, do not know how to act. It seems to them that God hid himself, left the world to the mercy of fate and chance. And we know from the history, as soon as our ancestors departed from their calling to be the people of God, and most often out of false fear, to be the same as the idolaters or atheists around them, then, we know from the history, then problems began. In that time, it was because of such a problem that the need of Purim arose. Because the Jews were becoming successful in their imitations of the peoples of the Persian Empire. They were successful. Interestingly, in the Torah, in the book of Dvarim, Deuteronomy, there is a warning about the times like the time of Purim, where the Lord himself warns what will happen if his people turn away from him, from Savior and Lord. I would like to read Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 18. This is prophecy about time, such as time of Purim. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 18. I will surely hide my face on that day because of all the evil they have done. For they have turned to our other gods. What's interesting in this place, Deuteronomy 31, verse 18, the word which translated hide in original sounds like astir in Hebrew. Some of the Torah scholars say that anyone who reads or hears these words in ancient Hebrew can hear the title of the book Esther. It's very similar how it sounds, astir and Esther. The Lord shows us that even though it seems to people that the Lord has hidden himself, that he is no longer present among his people, that he does not care about us and everything around is getting worse. In fact, the Lord has not gone anywhere. It is a very important lesson for us today. The Lord has not gone anywhere. He's present. He will never turn away from his people. He has a plan of salvation and deliverance, even when we do not feel it and when we don't see it. So the Persian name Esther in Hebrew sounds like hidden. She kept her religion, if you remember the scroll of Esther, book of Esther, she kept her religion and national identity a secret. And no one knew that she was Jewish until the time came from God to reveal it. She hid it. Moreover, the Almighty God of Israel acted as invisible to anyone by the fact that in this unique book of the Bible, the book of Esther, none of the names of God is ever mentioned in this book. Again, I would like to repeat, the God of Abraham shows that at the most critical moment, he is there to save, even if people don't see it. How important for us is to remember this lesson today. When it may seem that the Lord is far away, and we may not understand what is happening to us, this is the time to live by faith. Trust the Lord is with us. It is so important to trust upon the Lord. I want to read Book of Acts chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. I love this place of scripture. They were to search for him and perhaps grope around for him and find him. Yet he is not far from each one of us. And verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. He is everywhere. His presence in our life today, right now. And the second place I love to read, it's Romans chapter 10, verse 13. This is a very famous place of scripture. For everyone who calls upon the name of Adonai shall be saved. Once again, everyone, you and me, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It is not an option. It is a promise from the Lord. Everyone shall be saved. We need to remember that the Lord prepares his plan of salvation. He has Esther hidden. hidden from the people around until the time and prepared for the right time to deliver his people. And I would like to ask you today, very important idea in this place of scripture. Please ask yourself, if you are the hidden one for somebody who needs mercy from the Lord, who is waiting for deliverance from the bondage of sin, maybe you need to take fast and act today to share the good news of salvation, to share the good news of Yeshua. Maybe you are Esther for somebody. It is so important to remember. And another lesson, very interesting lesson, important lesson from the book of Esther. Very interesting, I found it for myself. Is that the Lord is the God of a second chance. Can we type together? The Lord is the God of a second chance. It is very important to remember. And we can find it in the book of Esther. So today I want to consider what led to the events of the book of Esther. It is very important to remember and to understand what led to the book of Esther. In the history of Esther, the existence of the Jewish people was threatened by the hatred and arrogance of one man named Haman. So this man was a problem for Jewish people. He hated Jewish people. He hated us. According to some Torah scholars, the life of this man, Haman, was the result of the disobedience of the king of Israel to God's commandment many years ago, according to some Torah scholars. So let's open 1 Samuel chapter 15 and let's read it together. It is very interesting story to remember. So 1 Samuel 15. Here is the Lord told Saul, King Saul, to conquer the Amalek and destroy everything, including the cattle. So, and let's read 1 Samuel 15, verse 2 and 3. This is the prophecy to King Saul, commandment from the Lord. It is a very important moment in the life of King Saul. Thus says Adonai Tzevaot, the God of armies, the Lord who has all the armies in his hand. Thus says Adonai Tzevaot, I remember that Amalek did to Israel, how he set himself against him on the way while he was coming up from Egypt. And verse 3. Now, go and strike down Amalek and put all he has under the ban of destruction. So have no pity on him. This was the commandment from the Lord to King Saul. And we know this story. Despite the fact that Saul was the victor, he kept Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and kept the best part of the cattle. So he kept it. In verse 9, let's read verse 9, the same chapter. It is again the same chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 9. But the Saul and the people spared Agag as well as the best of the sheep. And we know this story when prophet came to him, Elijah came to him. He blamed Saul, blamed the people for everything when he faced Samuel, prophet Samuel. He blamed people of Israel. It's in verse 15. This is his discussion with Samuel, what's happening. Saul replied, for the people spared the best of the sheep. So he's saying, it is not me, prophet. It's not me. It's not my problem. It is the people. They're guilty. It is the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to Adonai your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. What a wonderful answer The Lord told him, destroy everything. He kept the best. He kept the king, evil king, and destroyed everything he don't need. Rest we destroyed. So what is story? King Saul was disobedient to the Lord. He wasn't paying attention what the Lord told him to do. And after 500 years, when Jews live in exile in Persia, we can read about Haman, the enemy of the Jewish people. So let's read Esther, book of Esther, chapter 3, verse 1, and carefully, and let's look similarity between them. So again, Esther 3, 1. Some time later, King Ahasuerus promoted Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. Wait a minute. Son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. So Haman was Agagite. That is a descendant of Agag. This unrighteous king of Amalekites from first book of Samuel chapter 15. Again, Esther 3:1. Haman was descended of this king Agag from first Samuel chapter 15, whom Saul did not destroy. We know this story. When Haman discovered that Mordecai, a Jew, did not bow down to him, he was filled with rage and planned to kill all the Jewish people. He decided to kill all Jews. I have a question. Why did he have such a harsh reaction? I think it's my personal opinion. Because of Haman, this is not just arrogance for him, but historical hatred and personal revenge for him. Haman was probably raised knowing the origins of his royal family and how their kingdom fell at the hands of the Jews. He knew this story. Now, when he was in power, he could repay the Jews in full. How? To destroy and seize their property and spoils. I would like to read one interesting place from the book of Esther. It is in Esther chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. Let's read it together. Esther chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. Mordecai told them to reply to Esther with this answer. Do not think in your soul that you will escape in the king's household more than all the Jews. And verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Who knows whether you have attained royal status for such a time as this? Such a time as this. While many are familiar with the story of Queen Esther, not everyone hears the message about the consequences of disobedience and how God gives a second chance to those who do His will. Let's read a few places of the scripture and try to find the similarity between them. And let's read it carefully because it's very interesting places of scripture. First place, it's in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. And second place, from book of Esther chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 7. So let's read together and let's find similarity between these two places of scripture. So 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 and 2. It is a very interesting story. Now there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish. Let's remember Kish. Son of Abiel, son of Zeror, son of Bikurath, son of Afia, son of Benjamite. He was a mighty man of favor. So he was from a man of Benjamin. His name was Kish. Please remember this name. Verse 2. And he had a son whose name was Saul, young and handsome. This Saul was a king Saul. Later we'll find that he became a king of Israel. So Saul came from the family of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin. Please remember this. And now let's read Esther chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 7 and find similarity here. There was a Jewish man in the Shushan palace whose name was Mordechai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, a Benjamite. Verse 7. He had raised Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter. So let's talk together. Saul, son of Kish, from the tribe of Benjamin, he lost his kingdom because he did not destroy Amalek, saving the life of King Agag. And now Esther, Hadassah, she is also a descendant of the house of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. She was raised to the kingdom just for such a time. Just for such a time. She has a plan from the Lord in her life, for her life. The time when Haman, the Agagite, a descendant of Agag, a descendant of Amalek, tried to destroy the Jewish people, Esther, a descendant of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin, the same family King Saul was, the same family from the King Saul, ascended the royal throne precisely for this time, to accomplish the work that her forefather Saul didn't accomplish. When Mordecai said to Esther these words, "Relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish," Mordecai didn't mean Esther's family. We remember that she had no father. She was without father. He was talking about her father's house. And the book clearly says that this is the house of Kish, the house of Saul, the King Saul. His father's house was another royal family in Israel. Esther and Mordecai were given the responsibility to atone for a mistake made many generations before. Amalek must be destroyed, and the tribe of Benjamin must do it. Again, Amalek must be destroyed, and the tribe of Benjamin must do it. The Lord gives us a second chance. Where we have shown pride and disobedience, He is ready to deliver us. The second chance. He is the Lord of the second chance. In the same way today in our life, in order to turn evil into good, to see the light of salvation and feel the triumph of victory, we need to open ourselves up to the Lord, admit our failure and inability to help ourselves, and accept Yeshua as the promised Messiah and deliverer. I would like to read John, Yohanan 10, verse 10. It is very important words from Yeshua the Messiah to us. The thief comes only to steal, slaughter, and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. We have enemy of our souls, Satan. He wants to destroy us, but Yeshua comes to give a life, and not only life, not only survival life, but life abundantly, abundant life. The second place I would like to read is John Yohanan 3, verse 16. This story looks like story of Purim. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It is promised for us. The events described in the book of Esther are a type of the miraculous salvation and the gift of eternal life, which we receive through the sacrifice of Yeshua, in Yeshua. As for the Jewish people, so the mercy of God appeared in a world doomed to perish for its sins. And then I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 through verse 9. This is promised to us. This is a blessing to us. Again, Ephesians 2, 4 through 9. But God was rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. Please accept this love. Receive this love. He loves you so much. He loved you before you came to him, before you accepted Yeshua as the Lord and Savior, but he loves you even more right now. He loves you always because he is rich in mercy. He is rich in mercy. Verse 5, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Messiah. By grace you have been saved. Verse 6, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, to show in the Olam Haba the measureless richness of his grace in kindness towards us in Messiah Yeshua. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. It is not based on deeds, so that no one may boast. Yeshua is our joy. He is Purim for us every day of our life. So I would like to say, and I would like to wish again to every one of us, Happy Purim. Happy Purim in Yeshua, the Lord Messiah. In the end, I want to remind you that if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider to be a blessing to Beth Israel. I will close this with Aaron's blessing, as we normally do at Beth Israel. And then we will return to Eric and Anya's home for a final worship song. So let us pray together. Let's receive from the Lord. Let's receive his blessing from the Lord. Let's pray. Yiverechecha Adonai v'ishmerecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Issa Adonai panavelecha v'yaseh lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Hag Purim Sameach, Shabbat Shalom.